We've been talking about New Orleans, what happened 5 years ago. But there's another flood, as you well know, flooding in Pakistan. It's now affected approximately a fifth of the country, and that is an area larger than the country of England. Late yesterday, 400,000 people were ordered to evacuate their homes. That deepens the crisis that is significantly affected. Here comes another number, 20 million people, a staggering number. And as if the flooding and the threat of waterborne diseases weren't enough to deal with, aid workers may now be facing the threat of militant attacks. Here is State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley.
We are concerned that extremist elements within Pakistan, including the TTP, may well decide to attack foreigners who are in Pakistan, helping the people of Pakistan.
The TTP, of course, is the Pakistan Taliban. Yesterday, a spokesman for the group hinted to the Associated Press that they will attack aid workers. Let's talk about that now. Issam Ahmed is the Christian Science Monitor's Pakistan reporter. He's been joining us for updates on this story since flood started and joins us now from Lahore. Issam, good to have you back with us.
Thank you.
Also with us is Mark Ward, head of USAID's Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
Issam, let me start with you. This is indeed the worst nightmare. How in the world do you deliver aid when you're risking your own life?
Well, in the foreign agencies that I've been talking to today in my reporting, they're remaining fairly stoic in the face of these threats. They're putting on a brave face and saying, for example, I spoke to the spokesperson of Médecins Sans Frontières earlier, and he says that, you know, we're
Doctors
not too worried.
Borders, right?
We're going to be stepping up our activities. And similarly, that's the viewpoint I'm getting across from the ICRC. And in fact, the UN yesterday, through their spokesperson, made it clear that any threats against aid workers are, in fact, a threat against Pakistani people. So I think, you know, particularly these types of organizations, they're in that position where they feel their independence and their impartiality will, in fact, give them some degree of safety. And if you look at the precedent for it, there have been attacks in Pakistan against foreign aid workers. Most recently, the most high-profile one was against the World Vision Offices. That's a Christian charity in northwest Pakistan back in March. At that time, six Pakistani workers were killed. But by and large, there hasn't been a kind of concerted campaign in the past. When you look back to the last major catastrophe to hit this region, natural catastrophe, that is, the 2005 earthquake in which 80,000 people were killed. The Taliban at that time, militants at that time, did not undertake any campaign, did not harm aid workers.
And
you could say at that time, yeah.
Yeah, so it sounds like good news then that the aid workers are going on. Mark Ward, head of USAID's office in Washington, let me go to you. Is Washington taking this as a real threat? Are you, in fact, concerned?
Oh, of course we're concerned. I mean, we're so proud of the work that all of the aid workers are doing over there. But I think it's important to remember that the NGOs on the ground, the UN agencies on the ground in the Northwest that have been working there so diligently since the IDP crisis last year, they've been working under a threat for a long time. So this is not something new overnight. Everybody is reviewing their security procedures. We're taking a look at the systems we have for sharing information among all the NGOs and other agencies that we're working with. We get good information from the embassies in Islamabad. We share that with people out working in the field. People are used to this threat, though, and of course we're taking it very seriously.
And how does it affect the way the United States operates? We have been hearing from the beginning this was an opportunity for the United States to make some political points, to get our food, our stuff in there with our name on the packages. How is that working right now?
Well, as you know from news reports, the United States has been the largest responder and the first responder to this terrible disaster. Yes, some of our assistance is well known because it's got the American flag on it. The American helicopters that so far have evacuated 8,000 people and delivered almost 2 million pounds of relief supplies to communities that have been cut off by the floods. Everybody knows where they come from. They did during the earthquake, too. And many people are happy to see those helicopters back. They're seeing Pakistani Army helicopters as well. So the people know, and we hope more people will get to know, that the United States is providing assistance during this very difficult time. And of course, as the flood spreads to the south into Sindh, we're challenged even more to get assistance to people in communities that are cut off. As you said this morning earlier, another couple hundred thousand people have to be evacuated.
Issam Ahmed, Todd Zwillick here. Let me ask you from there in Lahore, how credible a threat from the Pakistani Taliban is this to attack? I mean, it is wartime there and across the border, essentially. Propaganda would certainly not be beyond the pale. And I ask it because the Pakistani Taliban is nothing if not logical. It seems like attacking the very people who were trying to help wouldn't ingratiate them to the local population.
Right, and just to reiterate the comments earlier, all the aid agencies are operating in what is known as a high-security context. And I was speaking earlier today to Amir Rana, who's a militancy expert at the Pakistan Institute of Peace Studies, and he was making the exact same point as you just said. It wouldn't ingratiate themselves with the people. They're already finding themselves isolated from the public. The recent international polling shows that the Taliban are now deeply unpopular. And by going after the very people who, you know, are providing that assistance or in providing those lifelines and keeping that food and the medical care and the essential items going, that would completely, you know, harm their cause. Obviously, it's standard rhetoric for them to denounce those international efforts and say that they're coming to nothing and say that, you know, the foreign powers have ulterior motives, ulterior agendas. So in that sense, I think, you know, following up on that threat would have grave consequences for themselves indeed.
Indeed. Issam Ahmed, Christian Science Monitor reporter in Pakistan, thanks for your help on this story all week. Mark Ward, head of USAID's Office of Foreign Disaster Assistance, thanks to you. And Todd, I cannot imagine a worse situation than being after a natural disaster and also having to worry about somebody shooting at you.
The fog of war overlaid with the fog of a natural disaster of this magnitude is almost impossible to comprehend, and it's hard to know who to believe in situations like
terrifying.
This.
Terrifying. You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper, with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.